Are we ready? All right. We're back, and this is the closed portion of the hearing to allow receipt of information that is trade secret protected. So I can't remember where we were. Mr. Armstrong?
I was beginning to explain the tables, I think.
Yes.
And Mr. Polich's testimony.
Sure.
Do we get copies of this stuff?
Table D and E and F.
No, it's not.
Well, no, you already listened to that stuff.
Right. We don't have it. Hold on. Don't
I didn't make it. Copies. I have the one set. If you want copies made, I will make them. But if you can work off of one set, that's... Now, they have theirs.
We may have some.
They own it. Yeah. There's only so much to be done in a half an hour.
I seen your friend yesterday there. There's a type of the left
oh,
of the
yeah.
toy. He's from the toy's over there. He's from Rock, but I think it's a far away. Because it's not a relation.
Interesting.
All right. Pardon me. I think I have.
Those boxes came in handy.
You see? I got one and two. And for you, Commissioner, you get the original.
Whoa. Try some handwritten notes in the margins on that thing.
We'll see. I'm going to put a big circle on this so I know what goes back.
They were like in chronological order.
Ah, okay. Sorry, there's no better way to do this.
And the winner is?
That's not it. We'll get there. The directed rebuttal of Mr. Johnson.
Well, the direct will be in the first one, the oldest one.
February.
Nope.
No, that's Mr. Pouch.
Yeah, the direct would be in the one that was docketed for the room.
Ah, okay.
In an order. Before you started.
Before I started.
Yeah. Here, I'll put them.
Thank
you. We'll need this.
We'll find them. I'm sorry. February 28th. February.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, sure.
Application, but I don't see Mr. Johnson.
Yeah,
everything in
the same
gotcha.
You filed it all together. That's all I can tell you.
That's for you, and I'll walk you through it real quick.
Do you want to share?
You okay with that?
I'm all right to share.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry
Never mind.
About that.
Go ahead.
Let me have these. I'm putting back in order.
Thank you.
All right. Paul doesn't want one.
Oh, and I got a spare of the rebuttal. Oh, no. Sorry about that.
This is all so okay. See, yes.
Yeah. He jumped up with them.
Mr. Johnson, I think we're ready if you want to continue.
Okay. So, two things in terms of, I mean, we're close on Table D. So Table D is not the focus. Let's move to Table E. That's the focal point.
What page is it on?
It's on page 23 of Mr. Polich's testimony.
Do you have a table in yours?
I have a Table E. on page 23 in Mr. Pulich's testimony.
But where is it in yours? Because we don't.
I don't reproduce his and mine. The discussion in mine about this table is on page 16 and 17 of my testimony, rebuttal. So we're looking at 16 and 17 of mine, and then page 23 of Mr. Pulich's testimony.
And is it your rebuttal testimony or original testimony?
My rebuttal testimony, page 16 and 17. Takes a while to get oriented to all this stuff. So I think there's two corrections I would like to make, and I'm sure he acted in good faith on trying to interpret things. The O&M, the variable O&M avoided cost of value in 4640 that we provided him, the O&M label for that piece of data was erroneously interpreted, probably inadvertently, would be my guess, and was applied as an avoided O&M variable avoided cost, where in fact that value is the fixed cost difference between two runs of the model that show with and without the Calpine model. So it's not variable costs at all. And his inclination that it should be much, much lower is absolutely correct. The variable cost of a combined cycle is not $46.40. It's closer to $3 to $5 in that range. Okay. So that thought on his part was right. But then he goes on and he includes that, believing that it is what it is, and it throws the value of the carrying cost up to way up to $246 million, as you'll see in his testimony. The second part of the correction is in the same data from the same data source we provided him, he's looking at a $69.81 per megawatt hour cost for the avoided energy reduction. And then we have a $57.56. This is on page 17 of my rebuttal. And there's a $10 difference. The reason for that $10 difference is that the $69.81 per megawatt hour value has start costs included in it, the cost of starting the unit, and the $57.56 value does not. So if you add the start costs into that value, the $57.56, that reconciliation occurs. So those are the two corrections. And what we did is we applied the correct application of that fixed cost difference to our analysis as it should be, as a carrying cost as opposed to a variable cost. And we ended up with $118 million carrying cost through 2024. And he ended up with $246 million through 2024 because of that.
Mr. Johnson, just to refresh your recollection, I point you to page 16, line 4 of your testimony for the carrying cost number that's in the record.
That's the total cost of just the capacity payments. And the total cost of the capacity payments is $170 million. So if you, like was referenced earlier, I think, by Kurt, that's the rental fee. If the thing just sat there and you paid just for the right to hold it and have that resource there, that's the rent for the capacity. So that's the cap. So how could it, if you have no value in terms of dispatch or selling the capacity or anything, that's the maximum amount would be $170 million. And his value is $246 million. Again, I would attribute that to the misapplication of the $46.40 per megawatt hour value as being treated as an variable O&M adder, which is far above what we would expect for that type of resource. So that, from our analysis, those corrections then were made and referenced and discussed in my rebuttal. And don't know where else you want to go.
Ultimately, like, as that relates towards the prudence of the project, what's the effect of those differences between your number and his in your mind?
Well, the net result then gets down to, from a North Dakota standpoint, his value is $12.96 million to North Dakota carrying cost for customers without the capacity credit. And our value is $6.2 million, so it's less than half. That's the bottom line. If there, and again, I want to say that those values show no no benefit from selling any of that capacity to help other utilities meet their capacity need. There is no revenue or capacity credit associated with that. And the chance of that happening, where you wouldn't monetize or somehow use short-term, some type of short-term transaction to some level, it may not be entirely sold out, you know, right to the max, the entire period. I think that's probably a fair statement, but it wouldn't be zero either. So it'd be the carrying cost, from my standpoint, then would be probably somewhere between $2 million and $6 million for that period of 2019 through 2024.
All I've got. Thank you.
Any questions from PSC staff?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Commissioner Kalk.
Yeah, just a procedural question, Your Honor. Are we just doing a round here on trade secret stuff and then go back to other stuff, or how do you want to do that? Because if it's not trade secret, we shouldn't have it closed. So I think, are you doing it twice?
Well, my understanding is that it's sort of disruptive to go back and forth. So, Mr. Simpson, unless you...
Your Honor, we are certainly sensitive to Commissioner Kalk's concern. To the extent we're going to be doing a round with Mr. Johnson, it would be our recommendation just to leave the hearing closed while we talk about numbers and then open up the hearing and so when we move on to less, number-specific type topics.
That would be my preference because it takes a couple minutes to go back and forth. So if we could do that and limit your questioning to topics
sure
that involve trade practice.
Yeah, I don't have any secret. Trade secret questions.
Okay. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. So the bottom line, the cost for North Dakota customers that advocacy staff proposed was $12.96 million, and you're saying the cost for you guys, that you think the accurate cost is $6.2 million.
Right.
And is that over the, is that annually? What is that?
That is the carrying cost for the period of 2019 through 24, which is the focus of Mr. Pulich's testimony.
Okay, good. I don't think I have any other questions for you either.
Commissioner Chrisman?
Can I have just a moment to make a note?
Sure.
Oh, let me go back and look here. Yeah, but they want to get them all out.
No, I understood the other way. This is just trade secret questions.
Right? We'll do it either.
I thought they said they wanted to just do it all, but...
As long as we don't have to talk about numbers, I think we're okay.
Okay. Thank you for that moment, Your Honor. I just wanted to catch that last answer without writing anything that would be get me in trouble later. So the previous witness responded to a question from me about what level of gas prices would make this no longer a good project to be involved with an answer to the effect that no matter what, this is going to be good. Now that we're in confidential session and can actually talk about numbers, do you agree with that answer? Do you have anything different? I mean, if gas prices by 2025 are $15, is this still a good deal?
Well, my comment would be you're locking into the lowest conversion cost, I would call it conversion from gas to electricity, that we have seen in over 10 years. So if we work with other utilities, we're aware of the pricing and so forth that other utilities, and including us, would be faced with, this pricing would then put us well-positioned against anyone else doing similar projects in their exposure to gas prices. The conversion costs for them would more likely be higher if it were a greenfield facility as opposed to something like Calpine, which is basically completing a project that's been set up to be completed for some time by just adding a CT. And you've heard the other benefits. So it's a low-cost conversion facility that, regardless of the price of gas, is still going to position it well in the overall MISO market.
Okay. Thank you. No other questions?
Any redirect?
Just very briefly, Your Honor, while we're still in closed session. Mr. Johnson, that $170 million and that $12 million, can you remind me what those numbers represent?
The $170 million is simply a summation of the capacity payments of the PPA for that term.
A summation of the capacity payments. So that essentially means it's what the company would pay if they just bought it, rented it, and never used it ever, correct?
That's correct.
And is it your opinion that if the plant is ever actually used during that period, that it would accrue benefits and then be a subtraction from that $170 million?
Potentially a very dramatic reduction for both the capacity value and the energy value of that resource.
Okay. So we have a cap as to how much it could possibly cost.
That is correct.
The company. Okay. And then going to Commissioner Christman's concern with respect to the price of gas, if I'm understanding you correctly, Mr. Johnson, that $170 million would represent the absolute cost to the company if they never use the plant, correct?
Correct.
And if gas was higher and the plant were dispatched, this combined cycle facility would convert the gas to electricity more efficiently than, say, a combustion turbine, correct?
Absolutely.
And is it your opinion that that's where it ultimately gets its value, regardless of gas prices?
In addition to deferring higher cost gas additions because it's there, in addition to displacing higher cost market purchases that we otherwise would have to make, and in addition to giving less wear and tear on some of our higher cost gas resources, preserving them to have a longer useful life because this resource was being more fully utilized.
Oh, I have nothing further for trade secret material, ma'am.
Mr. Johnson, anything further? Mr. Armstrong?
Just to clarify, to make sure I understand from Mr. Simpson's question, $170 million is through 2024.
Correct.
Okay. That was all. Thank you.
PSC staff?
That's jogging my memory. We should ask about the economic impact of delay. We talked about that and said it would probably come up during trade secret. If Calpine were to agree to wait 1 year or 2 years and you'd be adding the penalty, I think the number was trade secret, whatever the cost is to delay a year or two, can you provide some indicator now of what that is and where you would reach the tipping point?
In anticipation of that question, I have talked to our staff who was involved in the negotiations and review of the contract. The contract does not provide for that. The COD currently agreed upon is June time frame of 2019.
And so I have one follow-up, but we can talk more about it in the public, and that is, has the company asked the question? And has Calpine said absolutely not, or has the company asked, what about 1 year? Because the word that's used in the other testimony is indefinitely. They won't do it indefinitely, but what if it's not indefinite?
Well, I've not been party to those discussions. We could have the person who's represented that, but my understanding is that those discussions have happened, and the result to date of those discussions has been the COD is not being moved. And there's not a specific provision or amendment being considered at this point for that as of today.
Your Honor, I would suggest that representatives from the intervener may best be able to ask that question since it would relate to Calpine's own business decisions in and of themselves.
But the answer to the question of has NSP asked is yes. Yes, NSP has asked or not. You said he's having the discussions.
Mr. Johnson's not qualified. I believe Mr. Klein may be able to answer those questions.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Any further questions from the commission involving trade secret protected information?
I do have one more. Mr. Johnson, can you go to table A3 in your rebuttal? It's page 29.
Mm-hmm.
The total cost in that final line of that, line 2, $33.4 million, is the $6 million that you talked about earlier than this, the annual, divided the 5? How come you said, tell me again what the $6 million was. I thought we said it was 6.
Will you go to the next page? And if you look at table A5 and A6,
mm-hmm.
which only go through 23. If you were to move those to 24, we had a data request to provide that to Mr. Polich. That would put those values through 24. Those values then go from, in table A5, it goes from 1.7, if it's just through 23. If you go through 24, it's 2.18 million. And then down below in table A6, which also currently shows through 23, if you extend that out through 24, that 5.556 million becomes 6.20 million.
And the difference between A5 and A6 is what?
The difference between A5 and A6 is whether you apply the capacity credit or not. The surplus capacity. If you can look at the title there,
yep,
of A6.
So the A5, you apply it.
And A6, we do not. So
and the
A6 is showing.
A5 is the more likely scenario.
Somewhere in between, I think, is the result. I would view these as bookends, selling out the entire capacity surplus
okay.
at the surplus capacity value versus no sale of capacity. So somewhere in between is probably the actual value.
Mm-hmm. And the page before is just the system whole, not just...
Yeah, it says NSP is on A3 and A4. The North Dakota share of that is on A5 and A6. Yeah.
And then can you go through the annual rate impact down below? I can't quite read that.
I know, they're pretty small. Well, you start out with a portion that would be assigned to base rates, and then the fuel clause, the base rates... It would be the capacity portion of this, and then the fuel operation part of it, the 0.029 cents starting in 19. And then you look at the impact of avoided fuel and purchase power impact, which nets out with a net rate impact starting in 19 of a savings of 0.013 cents per kilowatt hour. And you can see that there is a substantial benefit for the avoided fuel and purchase power avoidance there, starting in 19 and going through 2025.
And why is there a savings in 19?
Well, in 19, the surplus capacity payment was pretty substantial using the surplus capacity credit.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the amount of surplus capacity credit to the contract in that year, which only was for a half a year in 19, mm-hmm. was the same as it was for the entire year of 2020. So it shows, because of that influence, it shows a reduction of
okay.
a net savings. So.
And is that sure to be realized, or is that if those surplus...
Well, the assumption in this analysis applies the surplus capacity credit.
Okay.
But, to these numbers.
But you won't know for sure. I mean, that's if somebody buys it, right?
We will not know today. We do not know at what level that capacity will be fully utilized by us
or
in that time frame, or sold for either short-term or long-term commitments to others to fully utilize the value of that resource.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Commissioner Christman, any further questions?
I do not.
Any redirect, Mr. Simpson?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Armstrong?
On that last point you were talking about with Commissioner Fedorchak, that capacity credit in 2019, is it dependent on what day during the year the plant would start up?
No, it starts by June 1st, so it's accredited.
So if the plant started December 1st, it would be a different
number. That's correct, yes.
And if it waited till 2020, again, a different number.
Well, the planning years run for MISO, for accredited capacity, run from June 1st of a year through May 31st of the following year, correct.
Does the capacity credit, is that proportional, or how does it work? If you started on December, would you lose 5 months' worth of it, or how?
Well, it depends upon the transaction that you're making. First, you have to have the accredited capacity to sell, and that would not be available if it started after June. Actually, you have to reach COD by March 1st to register the resource for June 1st, ability for the planning year that starts in June 1st through May 31st. So if you pass, if you're not registered by March 1st in MISO with that resource to be available for the next planning year on June 1st, you don't have accredited capacity to sell.
Thank you. That's all I had.
Yeah.
Thank you. I want to make sure there aren't any other questions that involve trade secret information before we open the hearing again. Anybody? All right.